so much. Thank you, choir. Thank you for being here today on this holiday weekend. Appreciate you coming our way. Several visitors and guests, we've already greeted you and asked the Lord to use our time together. I want to begin and read a few verses this week that helped my heart. And before we start the service this morning, I pray and hope they'll be a blessing to you. Psalm 118, the Bible says this in verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And verse 14, the Bible says this, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. And I pray today, if you don't know the Lord, today would be your day of salvation. Let's pray together as we begin and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, Lord, as we begin this service this morning, we ask that your spirit would bear witness with our spirit. Lord, those that have come in heavy laden and burdens and cares of this life weighing on their heart, I pray that today we'd be reminded of your goodness and strength. Lord, encourage our inner man, renew us, help us, refresh our spirit to serve you in a greater way in the days to come. Bless the singing. Bless all that's said and done here today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand to your feet, please, and take a hymnal there in front of you. Let's sing first hymn number 167, Joy Unspeakable. Let's do our very best as Brother Mike comes along.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplied every need. While I sit and burn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the heart has never yet been told. I have found
good. If you'll stand one more time, please, and take the hymnal there in the back of the pew, hymn 359, while the choir makes their way down. Brother Mike comes to lead us here, 359 this morning.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, beating of the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, of the, come on now, feel of living, safe and secure from all alarm, living of the everlasting. Verse 3 now, what have I to dread, what have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting Lord. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting Lord. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting Lord. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And if you're visiting here today and this is your very first time, we'd love to have a record of your visit. If you'll fill out that visitor's card in the back of the pew, it's good to see so many family and folks traveling here for the holidays. And we're grateful you're here. Brother Buck has a son in town, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law are in town. I'm going to do my very best to behave for the next 48 hours while they're here. No promises. No promises, but we're going to work on it very diligently. Several announcements and things I want to bring to your attention, some things going on this week and some upcoming events. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to the church from Kelly Lane and his family. He's worshiping with us this morning. Two Wednesdays ago, had a cancer surgery down at the University of Tennessee, a successful cancer surgery, and we're thanking the Lord for the prayers and a loving church family. And you look in the bulletin, and several families send along their gratitude and thanksgiving, the Phyllis Light family and the Trout family, and then Larry and Debbie here worshiping with us today, and the love and care of our church family over these days and the loss and homegoing of loved ones. I appreciate the way our church cares for others. Yesterday we had a good outreach, had several folks out, maybe about 10 folks out, and we canvassed several neighborhoods, inviting folks to our church. Looking forward to that. We've got a teen activity coming up this month in September, and then homecoming. We're going to begin that service at 10:30. It's a little different change of schedule on that day, and you can sign up for the meal. There'll be some ladies there in the lobby with the clipboard, some things of that nature, and all those details, and ask the Lord to help us. I want you to pray, and I want you to be faithful in these days. You know, we have homecoming this month, then we have a revival service, and if you'll notice there in the bulletin, I'm encouraging folks to participate or to get involved, to ask the Lord to use our church, use his word in your life. And from time to time, I'll have people tell me, you know, Pastor, we don't feel like we have a place, or we don't feel connected. And I'm just young and ignorant. And I say, the reason you don't feel that way is because you ain't here. That's what I just tell them. It's hard to get fed if you ain't under the word of God. You are not. I'll be proper. And I want you to do your very best to be faithful, be under the word of God. The men will come forward. We'll take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. I try to say often we give through the church, we give to the Lord, and we give for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm grateful for those that faithfully give and obey the Lord in the matter of tithing week by week by week. And we're trusting God to continue to meet our needs. Many of you are aware there's a tent meeting beginning on tomorrow. The Ralph Sexton Ministries are calling it the Mountain Crusade. And tomorrow evening out there in Piney Flats, they're beginning this crusade. Squire Parsons will sing, and some gospel singing, really have a time of dedication and prayer. But you'd be welcome to go. There's some flyers there in the lobby if you'd be interested in that. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our giving this morning. Brother Scott Varner, do you care to pray and bless the offering? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you meet the needs of our church financially. Lord, bless everything that's done and said here this day. May it bring honor and glory to you. I pray, amen.
Amen.
Miss Kim and Michael. I thought I'd see a little more orange here today. There was a small game over in Knoxville yesterday. I don't know if y'all were aware of that, but there's a little football game over there yesterday. I see some diehards there. You could tell they were present because they have a glow of the sunburn and misery they endured. And looking forward to that. Brother Harold, you come right ahead. And he has a presentation to give. And the deacons wanted to come along and take care of it. Oh, it's a secret. I mean, they had to hide it away. Had to hide it away. But the deacons are going to take care of this. And I'm going to step out of the way and let them make this presentation.
Amen. Miss Patty's birthday is the 5th, which is Thursday. So we wanted to present this to her today before she gets any older. So she still have her health and stuff. We don't know. But if you would come, we'll present this to you from Tabernacle Baptist Church, Bloomingdale, Sullivan County, in the state of Tennessee. I want to sing happy birthday to her.
Oh my, ain't God good? Who said Christians can't have fun? Harold's the most fun Christian I know. He can sing Christmas songs on the drop of a hat.
He'll drop a hat.
Listen, let's sing this. God is so good to us. Let's sing "There's Something, Something About This Name." Sing it with me. If you don't know it, hum it with us. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you.
Good. If you have the Word of God, if you'll open to Psalm 23, Psalm 23, and we're asking the Lord to use our time together as we walk through this scripture. We began several weeks ago a study on the Good Shepherd, and we went to John 10. If you actually go to our church's YouTube page, and you can follow along with this series, and then we made our way to Psalm 23, and we had the opening stanza that He is my shepherd, and then last week, we had I Shall Not Want, and this week we'll do our very best to walk through chapter number 2 of Psalm 23 and ask the Lord to help us. And the reason I've chosen this psalm and the reason I've kind of prayed through this direction of thought is with the upcoming election, the state of our nation, and the state of these things, and they affect our own heart. What you watch on, if you only watch Fox News all week, you'll be a miserable person. You need to find Andy Griffith. It's over on MeTV. But if you allow these things to infiltrate your mind, they'll infiltrate your heart. And before you know it, you'll be thinking God's not good. Before you know it, you'll be thinking God has forgotten me. And my heart behind this is to remind us all or to encourage us of our great shepherd. And really, I pray that that's what the Lord will do in this time. Psalm 23, Miss Kim's going to sing and share in song. And as soon as she's concluded, we'll have our Bible message. Thank you.
Your knees a thousand times. You cry to God and ask Him why He hasn't done what only He can do. You cry your tears, you pound the ground. The silence is the only sound, and it doesn't seem like heaven's gonna move. Oh, but there's still hope. Keep on praying. God is listening. He hears every word. There's no cry that goes unheard. The whisper and the shout. Oh, He hears them even now. So pour it out, every need. Bring Him every desperate plea. Cause you know there's hope. So keep on praying. God is listening. So we pray the Father's will be done. Trust the answer's gonna come. And hold on to the promises of faith. He brings His word and always will. Faithful then, faithful still. And that's enough to keep us while we wait. He hears every word. There's no cry that goes unheard. Whisper and shout. Oh, He hears them even now. So pour it out, every need. Bring Him every desperate plea. Cause you know there's hope. So keep on praying. God is listening. Oh, there's still hope. Keep on praying. God is listening. He hears every word. There's no cry that goes unheard. The whisper and the shout. Oh, He hears them even now. So pour it out, every need. Bring Him every desperate plea. Cause you know there's hope. So keep on praying. God is listening. God is listening.
What a blessing. Thank you so much, Miss Kim. I appreciate that. Psalm 23 this morning. Last week we spoke of contentment. I shall not want. You'll have to bear with me a minute. We spoke of contentment and I shall not want. And this week we come to verse 2 and we come to the thought of refreshment. Last week as we began to walk through this psalm and we made our way to the very first verse there, the thought of contentment that I shall not want. Everything we need is found in the shepherd. But if we do not settle in our hearts the matter of contentment, it will lead to resentment. You'll begin to look at other people and you'll begin to doubt the goodness of the shepherd. Follow along, please, and we'll read this psalm and do our very best this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I brought to our attention last week the he and the me. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. We see again this pattern, these first
three verses go together. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we begin this psalm, David introduces us to the one who can take care of our frailty, the one who can take care of our foes, and finally, the one who can handle or care for our future. You'll notice here in verse 2, he says, he maketh me, and then he says, he leadeth me. The cure for our anxiety is not removing things that cause the anxiousness, but entering in to the shepherd's presence. The secret to growing in the Christian life is that we would be yielded to the shepherd. Psalm 42 and verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O my God. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I want to preach the best I can this morning on these two words, rest and refreshment. Rest and refreshment. Our public world may be well ordered and defined, but our spirit cries for rest. Notice as you look at this verse here, verse number 2, he maketh me. The emphasis here is on the shepherd. The emphasis here is on his leading. The emphasis here is on what the shepherd provides. We see as the text is open, it talks about green pastures and still waters. It talks about the provision made by the shepherd. In the very first stanza, last week, we talked about how David opens in verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. He understands that all can be found in the shepherd. And right after he says, all can be found in the shepherd, there is the thought, it says, I shall not want. The thought of contentment was found in the shepherd himself. There's a thought here of dwellings or habitations. There's a thought here of calmness of mind and heart. There's a beautiful picture of a oneness between the sheep and the shepherd, those that have been well cared for and those that have been led to green pastures and those that understand what they have is from the shepherd. The happiness of the sheep is in the hands of the shepherd, and the sheep's contentment was in the company of the shepherd. This verse number 2 here in Psalm 23, it screams of rest and refreshment. Where do we find rest, or how do we get this refreshment that it's referring to here in verse number 2? In my reading this week, I came across a few statistics and things about America and our schedules, things we know about busyness. We as Americans are stressed out people. How many of you say, you know what, I understand what you're talking about. We as Americans work the longest days. In Italy, they work 6.8 hours a day. In the United Kingdom, they work 7.8 hours a day. In America, they work an average of 8.8 hours a day. We have longer weeks despite our continual improvements of efficiency. In Norway, I want to move to Norway. Listen at this. In Norway, I couldn't even find Norway on the map. 70 vacation days a year in Norway. We believe the lie that we need more time. How many people are retired and they find themselves busier than they've ever been? My folks retired about 4 years ago. And every day I'll talk to mom and dad, and they're like, well, at our stage of life, we either go to doctor's appointments or we go to the funerals of all of our friends. That's kind of what they fill their days with. They have doctor's appointments, and they're volunteering, and all these things are in their schedule. We as Americans cannot multitask. You ever find yourself just so busy and so tired, can't get things done? We're not getting enough sleep. We stress about our family, our children, different situations. Whether the article I read is true about the hours and the vacation days, one thing we do know is true is we're all busy. We have things that pull on our mind and our heart. They're pulling for attention. But unfortunately, instead of resting in the Lord, how often do those things get our attention? Could it be that God desires to commune with me and you? He desires for us to find rest that's only found in Him. And yet we are allowing our schedules and time to pull our attention away from Him. A flock that is restless, a flock that is discontent, a flock that is agitated or disturbed never does well. I've been reading this book on shepherding, and these thoughts on shepherding kind of make an application to the church as well. The first thing, if you're going to have sheep that will lie down, the Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The first thing that must be met for sheep to lie down is this, is that sheep must be free from all fear. That everything they need, the safety, the sufficiency, the security, the satisfaction, it's all found in the shepherd. But for that sheep to be at rest, for that sheep to lie down, it can't be agitated, disconnected, and disturbed. The sheep have no means of self-defense. They're helpless and timid and feeble. Yet the presence of their master and owner, their protector, puts them at ease as nothing else could. Could it be that you and I allow fear and anxiousness to rule our hearts because we are so far removed from the presence of the shepherd? We're so busy and our schedules are so full and our lives are so filled with anxiousness and fear, and yet we are nowhere near a relationship of abiding in Him. In the Christian life, there's no substitute for our keen awareness that our shepherd is nearby. To bring a calmness to your heart, to dispel the fear that you face. We're either going to live in a sense of anxiety or fear, or we're going to live in a sense of quiet rest and trusting the shepherd. There's no rest or refreshment in our lives because we're so full of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." For sheep to lie down, that they must be free of fear. For sheep to lie down, they must be free from friction within their own flock. How many have ever been on a farm? You've been around some sheep, you've been around some goats, some animals. Have you ever noticed there is a pecking order? Have you ever noticed there is, if you have bulls, there's a horning order? The idea that there's always one trying to get gain dominance in the flock. For sheep to be at rest, I know sheep is not the proper term, you'll forgive me later. They'll be free of rivalry and tension, free of a competitive status, free of self-assertion. Do we not live in a day where we all are butting one another to get ahead? Do we not live in a day where there's a lot of self-assertion? Sheep will not rest if they're fearful of being railroaded or headbutted. Self-recognition. this continual conflict and jealousy can be detrimental to the health of the flock. Sheep become edgy and tense. Sheep become disconnected and restless. These sheep that are always in friction, these sheep that are always in tension, these sheep that cannot lie down and rest, they begin to lose weight and become irritable. I know about the irritable part, but I don't know about the losing weight part. There's always a struggle for self-absertion and self-recognition. And while all this is going on, this headbutting and this trying to gain dominance and self-assertion, while all this is going on, there is no contentment or rest. But do you know what dissolves that friction? Do you know what dissolves those sheep that are butting heads? Do you know what dissolves the anxiousness and fear that they are facing? The very presence of the shepherd. You ever noticed when you're around, your kids are going to behave better? They're supposed to behave better. That's how that works. When you're not around, only the Lord knows what gets said or done. As God's children, when there is this reminder of the presence of the shepherd, should it not cause us to find contentment and rest in him? When my eyes are on the master, they are not on those around me. It'll bring a place of peace. It'll bring a place of calmness in my own heart. These sheep are less likely to assert themselves in front of the shepherd. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The third thing that has to be met for the sheep to lie down or for the sheep to rest in the flock is this, is that the sheep must be free of pest so that they can relax. You know, nowadays, Jackie and Wanda, they've got some cattle. Every now and then you've got to worm those cattle. You've got to put some ointment on them. You've got to get it where the flies can't irritate them. Only the shepherd can alleviate the stress. The flies and the insects and the ticks. But the things that, here's how we would understand it. The things that get under your skin. I know this audience is much more spiritual than I, but every now and then there are some things that get under my skin. You know, the only person that can fix those is the shepherd. Do you know how the shepherd knows that those things need to be fixed? Because he is with the sheep every day. Number four, for the sheep to lie down and for the sheep to be at rest, we're looking at Psalm 23 and verse 2. He maketh me to lie down. The sheep must be free of hunger. Ill-fed sheep are always on the move. They're always searching for another mouthful. There's this unsatisfying hunger gnawing at them. But a good shepherd will prepare these green pastures to alleviate them from hunger. The question of what lies in these experiences is this: will there be times of refreshment or times of ruin? Will I trust the leading and the presence of the shepherd? I began to think about this. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever been over to Israel or Bethlehem? There's not a lot of grass. It's desert and arid and rocks, and it's more of a mountainous terrain. The Bible says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. How did the green pastures get there? The shepherd had to go out and remove all the stones and debris And the shepherd had to cultivate the soil, and the shepherd had to plant the seed, and the shepherd had to prepare the field, and the shepherd had to get all of those things ready, because there is no substitute for green pastures. How will the mothers nurse their children if they don't have green pastures? I'm going somewhere. The shepherd knew where to take them because he had already prepared the field. We have a shepherd who's prepared for me and you a whole different field. No wonder we should have contentment. No wonder we should lay down and rest. The Bible says that he maketh me. This idea of submitting, John 10 and verse 12, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Do you know the truth is our spirits cry for rest that only the shepherd can give. The idea of he maketh me, the idea that it speaks of yielding. It speaks of gentle persuasion. He causes me to lie down. He chooses the nourishment of green pastures. He leadeth me, there at the end of verse 2. If he will lead and guide and direct and feed and carry, it imposes that you and I would follow. The cure for our anxiousness is not removing things that cause anxiousness, but entering into the presence of the shepherd. He leadeth me. Too many men turn to different things to appease their thirsty soul. How often has the Lord desired for me to lie down in green pastures, for me to be content in him, for me to find rest and refreshment in him? Yet I'm too busy pacing back and forth. I'm too busy allowing different situations to control my heart. Number one, I wrote this down, that there is submission to the shepherd. There is submission to the shepherd. We cannot be led by the shepherd unless we submit to the shepherd. Isaiah verse 58, verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The secret to growing in the Christian life is yielding to the shepherd. Does he not know what's best for us? The question really must be asked is this: do we want God to direct and lead our life? Do you know where the collision comes in? When we have our agenda and he has his agenda, and we spend more of our time getting our agenda done instead of yielding to his agenda. It involves submission. If the sheep did not follow the shepherd, they're going to be hungry. If the sheep did not stay close to the shepherd, they would be attacked by those that would come into the flock. If the sheep didn't stay close to the shepherd, they would be ill prepared for what lay ahead. Here we are in an unusual day. People can't figure out what bathrooms to use and what pronouns. And Ella started college this past week. First class, you know, they do these little mix and mingles and tell us what your pronouns are. This fella in her class, he, them, it, I don't even know pronouns. I should have paid better attention. He has a full beard, and he identifies as a them. It's just like, do you know Christian people need to stay close to the shepherd, or they'll be disillusioned by all the other stuff going on around them? And Christian people need to be satisfied with the pasture God has them in. Sheep have a tendency to wander off. They're just looking for the next bite of grass. And then, while they're looking for the next bite of grass, they want to fuss with the other sheep that are looking for the next bite of grass also. Let me ask you this. Do you think our God, do you think our shepherd would lead you to a place to be ambushed? No, no. Yet why don't we trust him? Why don't I rest in him? Oh, why don't I rely on him? James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart. Double-minded. Number one, there's the submission to the shepherd. Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This idea of submission. The next thing I wrote down, number two, is this. Our supply from the shepherd. At the end of the verse, he restoreth my, he made me lie down in green pastures. And then he leadeth. If he's going to lead, it implies that we must follow, that we must know the shepherd's voice. He leadeth me beside still waters. And number two, I wrote down, our supply is from the shepherd. You can drink deep in the world's well only to return unsatisfied. He supplies the water that we need. I was thinking about this in John 4 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life everlasting. The supply of our shepherd. If the first one was submission, that we're resting in him, the supply of our shepherd, it implies that we would get to a place where we trust him. We trust his leading. We trust his decision. We trust his direction. We trust his guidance in our life. And we can't lie down and rest. We can't rest at ease. We can't be filled with refreshment because we are looking for temporary things to satisfy. I think it was Socrates, and I don't get all into Socrates. I just read. It says, our hearts are restless until we rest in you. We're looking for careers and children and hobbies to fill something that was only meant to be filled by him. Our submission to the shepherd, our supply from the shepherd. Number three, our satisfaction from the shepherd. In order for the sheep to be satisfied, in order for the sheep to be at peace, in order for the sheep to get to this place where there is rest and refreshment, it implies that we are going to drink when he leads us to water, that we are going to eat when he brings us to green pastures. You know, as a believer, we have green pastures right here. And so many Bible believers today are very spiritually starved to death because they haven't learned to feed on the Word of God. We haven't learned to drink from the wells that he leads us to. Our satisfaction, our souls will not be satisfied till we go to the water and take a drink. We've got three dogs at our house and a lizard. And whenever we get a pet, I always tell the girls, there's one thing these things have to have every day, is clean water. They have to have clean water every day. I don't know about you. We got some dogs, and I've taken those dogs out, and they've drinking water out of the gutter at the house. They've drinking water everywhere but the little dish that's clean. Sometimes God works in our life to allow us to rest in Him and be satisfied in Him. And I think He looks down from heaven and thinks, David, I've given you clean water, I've given you green pastures, and you're running every which way, not content in me. The satisfaction that can only be found in Him, to not drink of the waters of this world. There's a consciousness here in the presence of the shepherd. There's a consciousness of safety. There's rest. The shepherd sees you where you're at. The shepherd loves you. The shepherd desires to protect you. I said it before, but He didn't lead you where you're at to be ambushed. He's guiding us and directing us. The consciousness of safety, there's rest. And the sufficiency of food, there's refreshment. And the word of God to believers, that there are green pastures for the believers to be refreshed on their inner man. And there's a nourishment for those to meet the hungry needs of our heart. Number three, there's a consciousness of safety, which is rest. There's a sufficiency of food, which is refreshment. There is obedience to the shepherd's leading. There's return. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Following the shepherd's lead is the most important. The good shepherd, he allows us, or he prepares all these things so that we can lie down and rest in Him. So that we will get to a place where we only trust in Him. The sheep's happiness is in the hands of the shepherd. And the sheep's contentment was in the company of the shepherd. I begin to think about the leading of the shepherd and the direction of the shepherd and the guiding of the shepherd. We want things fixed right now. How many of you, like, you want to pray, and it's before you get up off your knees, you want your prayer answered like that? But for the shepherd to take the sheep where they need to go, it's a step by step by step by step process. This is just how my little mind works. I think this one little sheep says to the other little sheep, they've been over here and they've been butting heads and they've been having some friction. Before you know it, that shepherd comes along and guides them. Before you know it, that shepherd comes along and gives them some direction. Before you know it, that shepherd has given them green pastures. And then that little sheep goes back to that other sheep that they were butting heads with, says, you know what? It's a lot better. It's a lot better if you just follow the shepherd. Now, I know that's kind of how my twisted 44-year-old brain works. But you know, we have a God in heaven who has led us step by step by step by step. And do you know what He wants you to do? How many of you that are His sheep have done stupid stuff before? Do you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to tell the sheep next to you, don't do stupid stuff. Trust the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. How often do we get ourselves in situations where if we would have just submitted to the shepherd's leading, we would not be in that situation to begin with? He leads you. Step by step by step by step. I wrote this down here. We'll finish. the shepherd ain't going to go off and leave you. He's going to take you on to green pastures. He's going to give you everything you need in life for rest and refreshment. It's only found in the presence of the shepherd. We'll prepare for an invitation, and the thought I come to this morning as we finish up is this thought, number one, for the believer. Maybe you've been at this church your whole life, and you've attended Sunday school, and you've taught, and maybe you look at your life and you say, you know what? I am so anxious and restless because I am not trusting in Him. Maybe for the believer this morning, you look at your life and you say, you know what? There are times where He led me. There are times where I should have just yielded to Him. Maybe you're here this morning, and several weeks in a row, we've been talking about this shepherd. And at this moment of the service, I give a gospel invitation. Maybe you don't know the shepherd's leading because you don't know who the shepherd is. And there's never been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner, that your sin is against a holy God, that God the Father sent Jesus, His Son, to live a sinless life, to die on Calvary's cross, to shed His blood, to pay for your sin, to make a way for you to go to heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you've struggled for weeks about the certainty of your salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've struggled for days about understanding that heaven is your eternal home. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I've got bad news for all of us. We all gonna die. I hope it ain't today. Pat's got roast in the house. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the first thing you got to address. The second thing you've got to address is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you following the leading of the shepherd in your life? Or have you allowed all these other distractions to interfere with you following His lead? Father in heaven, again, Lord, I'm grateful for the privilege we have to preach and teach your word. And God, this morning, as believers have heard this truth on rest and refreshment, on contentment, on trusting you, Lord, would you stir our inner man to a greater walk in fellowship with you? Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know for certain that heaven is their home, that they would come this morning at this invitation time, look to you for their soul salvation. Lord, help us to trust you in these days that are filled with anxiousness. Lord, may we rest in you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand to your feet for a song of invitation as Brother Mike and Kim play and sing hymn 157. Would you come this morning, child of God? Would you come?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way.
While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Sing one more verse. Would you come?
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today. And I realize many of you have family and friends and guests here in town. Thank you for worshiping with us. We will have our service this evening at 6 o'clock. We're in a series on victory, and tonight we come to a famous passage of David and Goliath. And love to see you back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to all that God has for us. We're going to pray and be dismissed. This actually does not end the service. If the Lord is still speaking to your heart, I'd love for you to seek me out. 2 weeks ago, Bruce, sitting back there, the Lord was working on Bruce's heart, and we prayed, and we turned out the lights and went home, but the Lord wasn't done working on Bruce. And about 3 days later, Bruce called me, and he came by the office, and we showed him from the scriptures how heaven could be his home, and he asked Jesus to come in his heart and save him. So the Lord's working you on that way. Give me a call. Would love to sit down, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Again, thank you for worshiping with us. I hope you have a blessed week. Jack, my father-in-law, Jack, will you pray and dismiss us with prayer? Thank you so much.